be ready. Her step horrors had ruined her, because if she couldn't remain calm with William, the man she trusted above all others, she couldn't remain calm with anyone. Gillian did the only thing she could and put sex on her never-never list, never acknowledge, never consider. No hope. A ragged, broken sound left her, the kind injured animals made just before dying. "One day, my silly Gilly Gumdrop, we'll look back on this night and laugh," William said, still so gentle, so tender. "You'll see."
"Maybe you're right."
She prayed he was right. "I'm the wisest man ever to walk the earth," he said with a wink. "I know all." No, not all. Not the key to breaking his curse. "One day isn't now," she croaked. This time, as she fought to disentangle from his embrace, he let her go. "I'd like to go home." "Don't be embarrassed," he said. "Not with me. Pretend this never happened. In fact, it's already wiped from my memory. We'll continue on as before." He took her hand, the same way he'd taken the other woman's hand, and another piece of Gillian's heart withered. "Let's fire up some video games and do a little zombie slaying."
"No."
She shook her head, locks of hair slapping her cheeks.
"Don't worry about me, okay? We're friends. We'll always be friends. I need to be alone right now."
"Pop it.
Please, Liam."
The look he gave her broke her already broken heart. Tomorrow, they'd go back to business as usual, and she'd go on living half a life, afraid of men and sex and maybe even happiness. Tonight, she would cry.
Chapter 4 3 days later. So, this is the woman William of the Dark will live or die for. Puck crouched on the railing of an 18th-century story balcony, gargoyle style, and peered into a spacious apartment with only two occupants, William of the Dark and Gillian Shaw. Soon she would be Gillian Cunnot. William. Wed. War. Now that Puck had found William, his tasks shifted. Wed the girl, cart her to Amaranthia, return for the mail. Wed. Cart. Return. Perhaps he should stop staring at the female first. Impossible. While the demon growled with displeasure, Puck drank in Gillian's dark fall of silken waves and eyes the color of whiskey. Seductive eyes filled with kindling. One day, a male would light her match and she would burn for him and him alone. Flawless golden skin and blood-red lips only added to her appeal, making her the embodiment of a fairy tale princess. My princess. Puck bit his tongue. He should have tasted blood, but because of indifference he tasted nothing. There was no denying the truth. Being near the female he planned to wed came with an unexpected complication. Indifferent? Hardly. She roused his most possessive instincts. Soon she would belong to him. She would be his first and only mine, without actually being his. Must police my thoughts about her, or I'll ruin everything. He felt as if he'd been watching Gillian for days, even weeks, as if he knew her. And yet he marveled over every new detail he learned. She was shockingly human, with a gentle spirit and an aura of kindness. Her beguiling smile was infectious, the rare time she revealed it. Mostly she studied the people and world around her, somehow both present and detached, all while radiating bone-deep sadness. Too many centuries had passed since Puck had experienced such heartfelt emotion. Before his possession, he might have sympathized with her, whatever her troubles happened to be, and sought to make things better. Now, he would use her without hesitation. He must. War before a woman. I'm needed elsewhere, William said and kissed her cheek. Puck scrutinized his competition for the female's affections. 6'5", solidly built, black hair, blue eyes, handsome if you liked perfection, and soon to be sporting a broken nose if he kissed Puck's future bride again. Inner slap. To achieve his goals, Puck needed both Gillian and William to cooperate. Hades requires my expertise to obliterate Lucifer's newest palace, William continued. Lucifer, the male's older brother. Gillian scowled. Soon she would smile. Around William, her moods tended to change lightning fast, as if she wanted to feel one way, but he made her feel another. No, you're staying here. Her voice, even laced with a thread of anger, had the power to seduce. No wonder William had fallen hard for her and no other. Puck had actually found the male hundreds of years ago, not long after the oracles spoke of their prophecy. Back then, William had loved no one but himself, forcing Puck to turn his efforts to obtaining the shears of Anangi. She was the goddess of bonds, and rumors claimed her shears could sever any spiritual, emotional, or physical tie without consequence. Of course, rumors also claimed the artifact severed more than the user bargained for. What was truth? What was lie? At first, Puck had contemplated using the shears to sever his bond with the demon. The creature had become a part of him, another heartbeat he needed to survive. Ditching him without penalty, could anything be better? Why else would the oracles instruct him to find the shears? But if using the shears on indifference had been the answer to Puck's dilemma, why instruct him to marry Gillian and recruit William? What if the shears severed Puck's connection to indifference, but also his emotions? He would be in worse shape than before. What if he used the shears and died? The artifact might consider death a blessing rather than a consequence. Too many risks. In the end, Puck had opted to stick with his original plan and work with William.
Help me defeat my brother. In return, I'll divorce your female and give her back to you.
Puck returned his gaze to the dark-haired Gillian. She had such lush breasts, a flat stomach and rounded hips, long legs meant to wrap around a man's waist.
My waist.
His heart beat with renewed determination, as if the organ had come back to life, even though it had never died, as if it said, I've been waiting for her. His ears rang as his blood turned to fuel. He sizzled, hungered and craved, and shot as hard as a rock, his erection straining against his fly.
Want to touch her skin?
Would she burn him alive? What a way to go.
Want to kiss those plump red lips?
Would she taste as sweet as sugar as he suspected?
Must know.
Did she have the power to make him come?
Really, must know.
He gnashed his teeth. The answers didn't matter. He needed to utilize his famous control. Too late. Indifference already clawed through his mind, making him feel as if he were hemorrhaging internally. Time for ice. Puck hesitated, then issued the summons. Nowadays, he almost always hesitated to use magic to put his thoughts and feelings in a literal deep freeze. Not because using magic outside of Amaranthia required an extra boost of energy. It did, but because he became a savage killer without mercy or regret.
Like you weren't a savage killer before?
He wouldn't soften until the ice cracked or thawed, a process he couldn't control. Instead, he had to wait for something or someone to prick an emotion strong enough to shatter, or hot enough to burn. If the ice remained, he could lose interest in his goals.
Worth the risk.
He couldn't meet his goals if indifference weakened him. The deep freeze numbed him out, as expected, but not as quickly or densely as usual. The layers were too thin, his emotions too fervent to be denied, all on their own.
Fervent enough that he experienced an emotional hangover that left him with a headache and churning stomach. He summoned more ice, more still.
There. Better. Even the hangover vanished. He might find the girl fascinating, but so what? She was a means to an end, nothing more. Once sin had been dethroned, Puck would wed someone else, and with his loving queen at his side, he would finally kill his brother, thus fulfilling both prophecies. Gillian anchored her hands on her hips, breasts straining against her shirt. With the ice in place, Puck had no reaction. Excellent. Whatever brand new, shiny war you're hoping to start can wait, she told William. The male offered her a mock growl.
You're not the boss of me.
I beg to differ. Head high, she dug a crumpled piece of paper from the pocket of her jeans. I'm redeeming one of my coupons, the right to... What?
boss you around for 24 consecutive hours.
William hunched his shoulders and heaved a defeated sigh.
Give her a coupon book, they said. It's fun and creative, they said.
She laughed an enchanting laugh, proving Puck's suspicions, and cracking his hard-won ice just like that.
She might be human, but she is also an enchantress, and more dangerous than any foe I've ever faced.
Usually he eschewed distractions, but he needed one now and allowed his mind to wander. What would his friends think of Gillian? During his search for the Shears, he'd met demon-possessed siblings. Cameron, keeper of obsession, and Winter, keeper of selfishness. They'd understood his plight and offered to help, meaning Cameron had obsessed over Puck's mission, and Winter had decided she could work the situation to her favor. Every hardship they'd endured would soon pay off. The doorbell rang, drawing Puck back to the present. With a heady aura of innocence and wickedness, Gillian battered her long black lashes at William.
"Be a lamb and welcome our guests inside."
Mumbling under his breath, the Ever-Randy strode to the door, opened up. Different immortals poured into the apartment, among them harpies, a sent one, a goddess, and 12 demon-possessed warriors like Puck. Hugs were exchanged and gifts given to Gillian. A birthday celebration?
"No, no, no," a petite blonde said as she breezed into the foyer. "Not yet. This is only a pre-celebration." Or is it post-pre-celebration, since William already threw a pre-celebration? Anyway, the real party is tomorrow. Maybe, but probably definitely not.
"Keely Kale," William said with a nod of greeting. "Can you do me a solid and stow away the crazy today?"
She blew him a kiss.
"But I'm speaking with your competition. Spoiler alert, he wins."
"I'd be mad at you for daring to lie to me," William replied with an easy tone, "if I had competition."
Puck frowned. Keely Kale, the Red Queen? Suspicions danced inside his head, tension tightening each of his muscles, the ice cracking once again. As indifference snarled, Puck ignored his usual reluctance and summoned another layer of cold disinterest. So what if she was the same Keely Kale who'd given the small, bejeweled case to Sin? What did Puck care?
Keely Kale nipped at a warrior's ear. Torin, the keeper of disease, before whispering something to William. Puck picked up only a handful of words. Danger, waiting, planned to eliminate.
William frowned, his body going rigid.
"You're sure?"
The blonde nodded, adamant.
"Your enemies plan to kill her."
"Her? Gillian?" Fury pulsed from William as he stalked to the girl's side and led her into a private corner.
"Something dire has come up. I need to leave for an hour, maybe two. Let me go without protest or demanding details, despite the coupon, and I'll make it up to you, I swear it."
Disappointment flashed in her dark eyes, but she nodded.
"Of course. Do what you need to do."
"Thank you."
He tweaked her nose before flashing away, moving from one location to another with only a thought. Where had he gone? Puck stayed put, observing Gillian. The allotted hours passed, but William never showed. Eventually, the others said their goodbyes and trickled out of the apartment until only Keely Kale remained. Should Puck approach, he might not get another chance to speak to Gillian without William nearby. But what would he say?
"Centuries ago, I was told you are the key to dethroning my brother. Marry me?"
"Quick question," Keely Kale said to Gillian.
"Keely," the girl replied with a moan, "must we do this now?"
"Keely, a nickname."
"We must," the pale-haired woman said. "What is your greatest wish?"
"Besides a female-ruled society where men are pets?"
"Obviously."
Thoughtful, the blonde tapped a razor-sharp nail against her chin.
"I'm going to save that particular wish for your 8th-century birthday."
Gillian snorted.
8 centuries, please. But you know what I really want. To be more like you, so strong, so brave, so free."
Puck stored every wish in a mental file labeled wife. Ways to win her, make her feel strong, brave, and free.
"Ding, ding, ding. Absolute right answer, so go ahead and consider me your fairy godmother."
Keely yanked a small vial of liquid from a leather cord hanging from her neck.
"Here, drink this and thank me later." Gillian's brows knit together. What is it?
Less talking, more drinking. Bottoms up. And happy 18th birthday, little one. This is going to make all your dreams come true. Dreams you don't even know you have. You're so welcome.
Keely urged Gillian's hand to her mouth, even helped her tilt the vial, pouring the contents down the girl's throat. You didn't refuse to drink, so you won't die, driving William to his death. Or did he already die? Wait, I'm confused. William's going to die? Gillian croaked. Were you listening? He's not, now. I might change my tune in another 500 years or so.
Puck sniffed the air and frowned. He scented a powerful potion meant to turn a human into an immortal. A rare potion, thought to be extinct.
As Keely continued to babble nonsense, Gillian grew still. The color drained from her cheeks. Sweat beaded on her brow, and she clutched her stomach.
Keely, what did you give?
Her eyes widened as she gasped. Whimpering now, she rushed out of the living room. Puck vaulted to the next window ledge, unwilling to let her out of his sight even for a second. She stopped in the bathroom where she vomited. Too weak to stand, she collapsed to the floor. Groaning, she closed her eyes and curled into herself. Keely followed her, saying,
I'm 100% certain that I'm 93% certain that I gave you the correct dose. Your symptoms are... Well, I'm not pleased. Maybe we'll have to go with Plan B.
The urge to crash through the window bombarded Puck. He would gather the girl in his arms and... What? What could he do to help? How did one care for a sick, mortal, almost immortal? Soldiers in Amaranthia were forced to tend to their own ailments and injuries with magic. If you weren't strong enough to recover without aid, you didn't deserve to live. Never mind. No need to help her. Keely flashed away just as William burst inside the bathroom. Seeing Gillian, his concern was palpable. What's wrong?
Puck ran his tongue over his teeth as his butterfly tattoo moved, like a snake slithering to a new hiding place. From his chest to his back to his thigh. Just as he had wandered across Amaranthia, aimless, the demon wandered across the contours of his body any time Puck experienced some kind of life-changing emotion. What life-changing emotion did he experience now? A quick peek beneath the surface of the ice revealed compassion and envy.
Want nothing, need nothing.
Besides, William didn't measure up to Puck in any way. Despite Puck's handicap, he was stronger, faster, and far more capable. Truth was truth.
Sick, Gillian whispered in a broken voice. Hurt.
Don't worry, William said. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of everything.
He stretched out a hand, suddenly glowing with power. Puck did a double take. William had runes, golden scrolls twined from his fingertips to his wrist, a conduit for whatever magic he possessed. With a single wave, he cut a rift in the air, opening a doorway between two different realms. Through the doorway, Puck saw a wall of stone.
I will fix this, you have my word.
Gentle, so gentle, the warrior scooped the dark-haired beauty into his arms and carried her through the doorway. Just before it closed, Puck burst through the window, shattering glass, raced through the room, and dove. Chapter 5 Puck rolled to a stop. As he straightened, he studied his new surroundings. A cave heavily guarded by wards, a type of protective magic derived from symbols. These particular wards were set to react to an invader's intentions. Purposely sneak into the realm? Lose your eyes. Have rape on your mind? Lose your shaft. Ready to commit murder? Say goodbye to your head. There was also a ward set to alert William of a newcomer's arrival. For the first time, indifference served Puck well. The wards treated him as they would a wild animal, ignoring him. Outside the confines of the cave, he discovered a tropical paradise. Yellow palm trees, heavy with fruit. A white sky. Miles of pink water. Waves lapped at glistening white and purple sand, the scent of salt and coconut coating a gentle breeze. He tracked William to a sprawling home, where large birds with metal beaks and claws guarded the perimeter. Once again, Puck was considered a non-threat and ignored. The preoccupied William had no idea he'd been followed.
See, Gillian? I'm the better warrior.
Finding a shadowed alcove on a balcony, Puck watched through a window as William placed the brunette atop a massive bed and tenderly wiped her brow with a rag.
"This isn't how I thought to spend your birthday week, puppet. You need to get better."
Regret layered the male's voice. "Tomorrow is supposed to be the beginning."
"Well, it doesn't matter right now."
He brushed his knuckles along her jaw and said, "I'll be back." The barest protest escaped her before he flashed away. 1 minute passed, two. Ravaged by fever, Gillian tossed and turned. Puck hung back, awash in longing. Sympathy? With a curse, he focused inward to fortify the ice around his heart. He'd had enough of emotion, enough of indifference. How did the girl affect him so strongly, so quickly anyway? And why was she sick? The potion should have strengthened her as she made the transition. The answer slapped him upside the head, and his lungs constricted. Morte ad vitam. She couldn't make the transition. Her little body wanted to evolve and continue to try, but it wasn't strong enough to finish the deed. With every hour that passed, she would weaken further. She would weaken until she died. A surge of fury and fear caused the ice to crack. As Puck's claws cut into his palms, a shout of denial brewing in the back of his throat. Indifference protested with a growl.
"Careful. More ice. Now."
Puck calmed, even as he acknowledged the unacceptability of this development. Gillian wasn't permitted to die. They had to wed, and he had to use her to gain William's allegiance. He would just have to proceed as if she would live, because she would. If William failed to save her, Puck would do so. He considered his options, approach her now and initiate a conversation. But how would he begin?
"You know what they say, once you go beast, you'll always feast." No, all wrong. He had to make her feel strong, brave, and free. "Be mine and you'll never again know weakness."
She might take one look at him and die from fright. The outcome of a meet-cute had never been so important. He needed to put his best foot, hoof, forward, needed to charm and seduce. He thought back to his pre-demon days. Females had feared him, the undefeated, but many had encouraged him anyway. But whatever charisma he'd had, he'd lost, and his appearance. Well, it hadn't always been the hindrance he'd expected. A certain type of woman liked his beastly form. Horns were in and incredibly popular in romance novels. He knew this, because he sometimes read books to Winter at her request. Apparently phrases like "her succulent nipples" and "quivering desire" sounded amusing in his monotone voice. Whatever. In every story, Puck had identified most with the villain, but he could certainly role-play the part of hero. He could act like a knight in shining armor, at least for a little while, and offer to rescue his damsel in distress. She wouldn't know the truth until far too late. With a plan in mind, he stepped forward. William materialized in the room with another immortal at his side, and Puck went still.
"This man is a doctor," William said. "He's going to examine you."
Her only response was a moan of pain. The doctor spent the better part of an hour examining Gillian. When he whispered the diagnosis to William and proclaimed there was nothing he could do, William punched him so hard he flew into the far wall.
"What did he say?" Gillian asked.
"Doesn't matter." "He's a quack," the warrior announced. "I'll find you another doctor, a better one."
He vanished, but still Puck hung back, expecting the male to return any... William appeared with a second doctor, then a third and a fourth. Each one checked the girl's vitals as she slipped in and out of consciousness, trembling as William barked orders and issued threats. Blood was taken, tests run, but the diagnosis remained the same. She would die sooner rather than later.
"Go to the living room," William commanded the plethora of physicians. "Set up a lab, do more tests, find a way to save her or die yourselves. And if you think to sneak away, know that I will find you and I will hurt you. You'll pray for the day I kill you."
As they rushed to obey, he sat at the side of Gillian's bed, his expression gentling.
"There, there, puppet." Once again, he wiped her brow with a rag. "You'll heal. That's an order."
"What's wrong with me?"
she managed to rasp.
"What did Keely give me?"
"Something supernatural, but don't worry, I've got the best immortal doctors searching for a cure."
Puck pursed his lips. Why keep the full truth from her?
As Gillian fell into a fitful doze, the other male held her hand, perhaps attempting to will his strength into her fragile body. Puck wanted to hate the male. He was ready to get off the bench and in the game. At some point, William's father appeared. Hades, one of 9 kings of the underworld. He was urbane but uncivilized, a tall, muscular man like William, with bronze skin, jet-black hair, and eyes so black they had no beginning or end. He had a silver hoop in his nose and stars tattooed on each of his knuckles. How many other tattoos were hidden beneath his pinstriped suit?
"What's so special about her?" Hades asked.
"I'm not discussing her with you," William snapped.
"I'm discussing her with you, then. You can't be with her. You can't be with anyone. You know as well as I that your happiness walks hand in hand with your doom.
I'm searching for a way to break my curse, and
you've been searching," Hades interjected, "for centuries. My book is nonsense. A trick to make you hope for what can never be, so that your demise will be sweeter for your enemies. If the book could be decoded, it would have been decoded by now."
Puck didn't agree with Hades. In all his research, he'd heard much about the Book of Codes, meant to save William from death at a lover's hand. Multiple sources had confirmed the book's validity.
"Did you come here to piss me off?" William grumbled. "Pissing you off is a bonus," Hades said. "I came to warn you." "Well, you've done both."
"No, son, I haven't." The king's voice hardened, sharp enough to cut steel.
"The warning is this. If I think you're falling in love with this girl, I'll kill her myself."
William stiffened. In a deep freeze 1 second and boiling with rage the next, Puck bowed up.
"Kill Gillian, my key. Try and see what happens."
With a war cry, William launched himself at Hades. A fierce, bloody battle ensued, nothing held back. Punches to the nose and teeth, elbows to the chest and gut, knees to the groin. And yet, one opponent never actually tried to kill the other.
They must have affection for each other, the way Puck and Sin... No, not Sin. No matter the provocation, an adoring brother would not curse another to a hellish eternity, forcing him to exist rather than live. "I would have rather died than hurt him. Now I am willing to die in order to hurt him."
As Puck waited for the fight to end, he did his best to calm. But a weird buzz soon began to vibrate in the back of his mind, and if not for indifference, he would have blamed the sensation on impatience. Finally, Hades left. William petted the top of Gillian's head, muttered something about finding a better doctor, and dematerialized. Showtime. Puck eased into the room, silent, and padded forward. Wait. Had he remembered to dress today? A quick glance down revealed his sheepskin pants had been torn so much they resembled a loincloth. No matter. Barbarian chic really made his horns pop and fit the whole romance novel hero mystique he'd hoped to convey. He might even pass for Prince Charming. Well, a prince in need of a true love's kiss. Puck's pulse points spun into a wild rhythm when he reached the side of the bed and spied his future bride. He wasn't the only fairy tale character in the room. "Sleeping Beauty lies before me." Dark ribbons of hair spilled over the pale pink of the pillow. Her eyes were closed, long black lashes throwing shadows over her cheeks. A rosy flush spread over her delicate features as she parted her lips.
"Practically begging for my kiss. Focus, keep this short and sweet."
No telling when William would return.
"Gillian,"
he rasped, surprised by the husky tone of his voice. A sweet fragrance wafted from her. Breathing in, he detected a note of poppy berries, and his head fogged. His blood heated. The butterfly tattoo sizzled on his torso, surely melting his skin. Indifference snarled with more force and slashed at his mind. Trouble brewed.
"Fortify ice. Regain control."
Gillian turned her head toward him and blinked rapidly before focusing on him. Panic filled her whiskey-colored eyes before she looked away, anywhere but Puck. Her mouth opened wide, as if she was trying to scream. Only a squeak escaped.
"There'll be none of that now."
To prove himself harmless, he tucked the covers around her, as he'd seen William do.
"I'm not here to hurt you."
"Truth." The movement caused the razors woven into his hair to clink together, drawing her attention. Her gaze darted to him and darkened with shock and dismay. He swallowed a curse.
romance novel heroes didn't usually smuggle weapons in their hair.
Must proceed anyway.
Puck wouldn't part with his razors. They were his saving grace. Any time he was challenged and had no sword or dagger, he plucked a razor free and started slashing. Tears rained down Gillian's cheeks, and her chin trembled. So vulnerable, so broken. A pang of something lanced his chest. As gently as possible, he wiped her tears away.
Skin as soft as silk and hotter than the sun.
The action helped relax her, even as it hardened muscle after muscle inside him. Her panic began to fade until her gaze snagged on the loincloth, or rather, the erection underneath the loincloth. With a whimper, she began to thrash atop the bed in a desperate bid to escape. Thought he would take what she had not offered. Never.
Eyes up here, lass.
Her gaze lifted up, up. She gasped, as if she'd noticed his face for the very first time. Confusion contorted her features before a deeper shade of rose spilled over her cheeks. Did she like what she saw?
I was told I could aid you.
Again, truth. He told himself.
That we can aid each other.
Her brow furrowed, her confusion intensifying.
I wasn't told you belonged to William of the Dark.
A necessary lie, and something the old Puck would have protested. Demon-possessed Puck had few scruples. Like everything else, means had ceased to matter. Only the end result.
I also wasn't told you were sick.
Or human, he added.
Look at me, female.
So innocent.
I know nothing about you, but my curiosity is great. Be flattered rather than frightened. What are you doing with a male of William's reputation?
There, sowing dissent, a tactic he'd learned from Sin.
Who are you?
She asked, reciprocating his curiosity. A good sign, eh? He sifted a lock of her hair between his fingers, savoring the sleek texture.
Savoring? Puck?
What is she doing to me?
Indifference snarled. He purposely fixated on her question and how best to answer, until she cringed as if disgusted by his touch. Another pang, this one sharper, as he dropped his arm to his side. He wasn't upset by her reaction, he wasn't.
I'm Pukin. You may call me Puck. I'm the keeper of indifference.
He forced himself to pause, as if he needed time to consider his next words.
I'm not sure you can aid me, but I think I'll allow you to try.
Another lie. You will help me, female, one way or another.
Was she intrigued?
She remained silent, simply peering up at him, as if he were a puzzle she couldn't solve.
Aye, intrigued.
Another pang raised his chest, creating fractures in his ice, allowing emotions he'd buried to rise to the surface of his mind. Arousal, hunger, impatience, longing, fury, more arousal. His body seemed to expand to accommodate the influx, the butterfly tattoo moving again. Muscles plumped and knotted, skin stretched taut, beads of sweat popped up on his brow and between his shoulder blades. Indifference geared up to deliver a lethal strike.
No, not here, not now.
Concentrating on his breathing, Puck shifted from one booted foot to the other, never allowing his body to assume a warrior's stance, even though warriors took what they desired, when they desired.
Reach out, touch her, satiate your hunger.
No, he shouldn't hunger at all.
Go, leave her wanting more. I'll return after you've gotten used to the idea.
And after I've calmed. He opened his mouth to tell her he would find a way to save her, to plant seeds about the possibility. But Gillian's eyes had already closed. She'd fallen asleep. She must feel safe with him, at least on some level. Otherwise, adrenaline would have kept her conscious.
Victory, within my grasp.
Though every step away from her proved a special kind of hell, considering his lust for her. He returned to the balcony, intending to watch over her the rest of the night.
Well, 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 a familiar voice said from behind him. Who do we have here?
Chapter 6.
Before Puck could turn around, hard fingers tangled in his hair and yanked, flinging him from the balcony. One of his razors slashed his cheek when he crashed into a bank of trees. Bark and sand sprayed in every direction. For a moment, as he lay upon the ground, a memory wafted through his mind. After a particularly gruesome day of training, he and Sin had huddled together, eating the rodents they'd managed to catch because soldiers were responsible for their own food. If you didn't hunt, you didn't eat.
I wish you'd stayed with Mama, Sin, but I'm so glad you're with me.
You're my favorite person in all the realms, Puck. I'll stay with you always.
But always hadn't lasted long, had it? Puck swallowed the bitter lump in his throat and forced the past from his mind. Fighting for breath, he sprang to his feet. In a whirlwind of black smoke, Hades appeared directly in front of him.
So you're the one possessed by indifference. I've wondered about the unlucky twitch he'd given him to all those centuries ago.
Puck unsheathed a dagger, the metal glinting in the sunlight.
If you mean Keely Kale, Keely, she gave indifference to my brother and he gave the demon to me.
Gave, such a pretty word for such a terrible betrayal. Then realization struck. Hades knew the truth of Puck's possession. Others assumed he was given indifference while locked in Tartarus, a prison for immortals, which was an understandable mistake. Long ago, when Zeus ruled Mount Olympus, 12 members of his elite army stole and opened Pandora's box, a container much like the one holding indifference. Only, this one unleashed countless demons on an unsuspecting world, the worst of the worst. The soldiers were punished for their senseless act and forced to play host to a demon, just like Puck. With more demons than soldiers, however, the leftovers needed a host. Select prisoners were chosen. Hades grinned a cold grin.
Keely does nothing without understanding the grand finale.
Keely Kale. Keely. Gillian's friend was the infamous Red Queen.
Why would she meddle in my life? Why would she want me possessed?
Puck had done nothing to hurt her, hadn't even known of her existence until she'd struck at him.
To save my son. Keely and I were engaged at the time, and she knew I would do anything, and I do mean anything, to ensure his safety.
Forcing Puck to play host to indifference had somehow saved William's life? Ridiculous. He suspected Hades saw the past through the lens of his pride. But either way, Hades had made it clear he planned to destroy those who got in his son's way.
Kill anyone who threatens my survival, and always retaliate for a slight.
Indifference snarled as fury spiked. Inhale, exhale. Puck summoned the ice.
To no avail. As if the king had negated his only defense. Or his emotions were too far gone already. Would you like your freedom? Hades asked. Once I ruled the demons, I could remove indifference, no problem. But I would damage you in the process. A perk for me, since I enjoyed damaging others.
Fury intensifying.
I'll pass. Then listen up, little princeling, because it's story time.
Hades stalked around him, menace in every step.
The Red Queen also told me that my life would change the day I flashed upon a warrior of unequaled strength and ferocity, who would help me fix my beloved son's problem, if I was a good boy and stopped myself from killing him. Now here you are, sniffing around the very son and problem in question.
Unequaled strength and ferocity sounds like me.
Does this problem have a name?
She does. She. Gillian, then.
She might be a problem for William, but she is a solution to me. I won't leave this realm without her.
Will you not, then? Hades arched a dark brow.
Already possessive of her, despite only just meeting her. Despite indifference.
Well, consider my curiosity mildly piqued. Actually, a notch below mild. Slightly. If Hades thought to keep Puck from his future wife, from his future period, Hades would die.
Is your strength and ferocity greater than mine? Hades asked.
No need to ponder. Yes.
Let's find out for sure, shall we?
One second Hades stood out of striking distance, the next his breath fanned Puck's face. In swift succession, Puck blocked the first, second, and third punch, saving his nose from being shattered. But Hades was touted as a master of strategy for a reason, and clearly expected the resistance.
By forcing Puck to play defense, he was able to use his free hand to steal the other dagger sheathed at Puck's waist. Jab, jab, jab. Hades stabbed his kidney, liver, and intestines. Any one of those blows could have killed a human. All three? Certain death. Though agonizing pain shot through Puck, warm blood flowing in crimson rivers down his legs, weakening him, he remained unfazed. Unhampered by a need to fight fair, he slammed his knee between Hades' legs. Testicles, enjoy your meet and greet with your master's throat. As the king hunched over, gasping for breath he couldn't catch, Puck cold-cocked him in the jaw. Hades stumbled back, his infuriated bellow echoing through the realm. When he straightened, his gaze landed on Puck and narrowed. As Puck's stab wounds healed, he checked his cuticles. Huh, they could use a trim. Now Hades laughed a sound of genuine amusement. You think you've got me beat, do you? Hate to break it to you. Who am I kidding? I love to break it to you, just as I love breaking you. I was winning battles when you were soiling your diapers. You cannot defeat me, especially when I know indifference better than you ever will. A taunt meant to elicit fear and knock Puck off his game? Too bad. Utilizing the preternatural speed he'd been born with, he closed the distance and punted Hades in the stomach. The king stumbled and Puck dived at him, knocking him down. They toppled. Midair, Hades attempted to claim the superior position and failed. Boom! Impact! Air gushed from the other man's lungs, momentarily rendering him immobile. Puck suffered no such impairment and took full advantage, yanking a razor from his hair and slicing through his opponent's eyes, temporarily blinding him. With a roar, Hades wailed on Puck, shattering his cheekbone, jaw, and trachea. He'd experienced worse 1,000 times over and fought through fresh waves of searing pain, repeatedly swiping at the king's face. Blood poured from multiple lacerations. At the same time, Puck used his free hand to steal back the dagger Hades had stolen. But the king expected that action, too, and angled the blade to slash through Puck's palm. Flesh and muscle tore, bone cracked. Hades power-drilled a fist into his jaw, newly healed joints dislocated. Stars winked through his vision, and more waves of searing pain joined the party. But not by word or deed did Puck reveal it. He simply maneuvered to his feet and slammed a boot into Hades' nose, shattering cartilage. A reprieve. He forced his jaw into place. Better. When he raised his foot to deliver a second stomp, Hades caught his ankle and flipped him over. Upon landing, Puck flipped backward and glided to his feet a good distance away. I can do this all day, he said. Come, give me your worst. He gave an exaggerated wince, a taunt. Or did you give me your worst already? Standing with far more grace than anyone should exhibit after taking a foot to the face, Hades offered him another amused laugh. You want the girl? Fine, she's yours. Because no matter what my son thinks, she isn't the one for him. According to Keely Kale, he'll die if he weds Gillian. So, tomorrow I'll keep him busy, allowing you to do a little romancing. Or a lot of romancing. Have you looked in the mirror lately? You're going to have to work a lot for a little tale. Bond to her. It's the only way to save her and take her far away from here. Marriage to Gillian would cause William's death? Interesting. Maybe that was why Puck had to wed the one the underworld prince would live or die for, so that William survived long enough to dethrone Sin. Maybe Gillian would cause William's death after Puck returned her. Not my problem. Once William fulfilled the prophecy, Puck didn't care what happened to him, but he kept his lips zipped. No way would he admit he planned to take Gillian away from William only temporarily. Let Hades think what he wanted to think. Bond to her, he'd said. Not marry. The only way to save her. Realization and shock hit Puck with enough force to topple an elephant. Bonding would unite their souls, allowing Gillian to draw on his strength and finish her transition into immortality. She would be more than his wife. She would become his other half. Mine. Slight problem. As weak as she was, she might act as a siphon and drain him completely, killing them both. An outcome William must fear. Otherwise, he would have bonded to his lady love already, eh? Worth the risk. He would propose, and she would agree, if only to save William heartbreak and guilt, or stop him from taking the same risk. She wouldn't want to jeopardize the life of her precious. Advantage, Puck. Her unrelenting loyalty to the male should have pleased Puck. It would ensure his victory.
So why was he grinding his teeth and squeezing his fists so tightly his knuckles attempted to tear through his skin? Didn't matter. Potential dilemma. Divorce would no longer be possible. Separation would mean death. William would never agree to... Huck sucked in a breath. The shears, of course. He could use Ananke's shears to free Gillian from their bond, allowing her to return to William alive, free of her husband's claim. Every action dictated by the oracles had a reason, and finally those reasons made sense. Puck readjusted his tasks. Bond to Gillian. Escort her to Amaranthia. Return for William. Bond, escort, return. Cold grin back in place, Hades saluted him. Excellent. I see the wheels turning in your head. I'll leave you to your schemes. Good luck, Pucker. They're going to need it. After blowing him a kiss, the underworld king vanished. Alone, Puck stared up at Gillian's balcony, waves of determination spilling over him, antagonizing indifference all over again. Inhale, exhale. Hades had promised to distract William tomorrow. Puck didn't trust him, or anyone. Sin had taught him better. But doubt and worry were currently beyond him. He would continue on as planned, and whatever happened, happened. He would deal. What he wouldn't do? Give up. Lass, you're as good as mine. Chapter 7 Puck spent the night appeasing indifference by refortifying every layer of ice around his heart and mind. Feel nothing. Want nothing. War before women, always. When next he faced Gillian, he would be ready. Her beauty would not affect him, nor would possessive instincts lead him. So it was decided, so it would be. As the sun rose, Puck positioned himself in a bank of shadows, watching as Hades tried, and failed, to convince William to leave the realm. Hours passed, the sense of impatience returning. Time wasn't his friend. Time was not Gillian's friend. Finally, Hades told William he had a lead on a cure for Gillian, and William happily abandoned ship, granting Puck an opportunity to meet with Gillian unencumbered, unless the king of the underworld intended to ambush him. No matter, I'll be ready. Puck prowled through an oasis of palm trees, his gaze locked on his target. She lounged on the beach in a cushioned chair, a wispy white canopy providing shade. Already she'd lost weight she couldn't afford to lose. The shine in her hair had dulled, and the lovely tint of rose in her cheeks had abated. How much time did she have left? Protective instincts surged. Ice cracked as his butterfly tat traveled from his shoulder to his thigh. Breathing deeply, searching for calm, he closed in on Gillian. The golden sun set in the horizon, painting the sky with a rainbow of different colors and reflecting off the water, and her eyes. Such a beautiful, tranquil setting. Perfect for seduction. He almost smiled. William had set the stage for his own downfall. Around her, 8 armed guards. Only 8. My future wife. Rephrase. The girl deserves better. Must teach William the error of his ways. Do you need anything, Miss Bradshaw? One of the guards called. Bradshaw, one of her aliases. Did William not want anyone to know her true identity?
No, thank you, Gillian rasped, her voice little more than a whisper.
So weak, so close to the end. Crack, crack. If the demon were to take out Puck before he'd secured a bond with her, must act faster. Moving at a speed neither mortal nor immortal could track, he felled the first 4 guards. As the others realized an enemy lurked nearby, weapons were cocked. Too late. Puck defeated them just as easily and swiftly. Brushing his hands together in a job well done, he stalked to Gillian's side. The scent of poppy berries filled his nose, deliciously intoxicating and as magical as home, urging him closer, closer still, and... snarl. Puck nearly lost his footing. And I considered myself prepared. The girl wielded some sort of strange enchantment over him, able to do in seconds what most people couldn't do in months, affect him. Spotting him, she gasped. Then she looked down as if she couldn't bear the sight of him. Panic radiated from her, the very emotion he hadn't wanted her to feel, and he hadn't yet spoken a word.
Why would she fear his presence when he hadn't hurt her last time? Why would... Her gaze darted to him, lingering on his loincloth, before she once again looked away. The material was damaged, frayed, and revealed more than it concealed. Easily remedied. Should he remedy the situation, though? Perhaps she feared her reaction to his body. Perhaps she liked the sight of him too much. A man could dream. In a blink, Puck returned to a fallen soldier, stole a shirt, and fit his arms through the holes. The man's pants were too small. Every pair of pants proved too small. Very well. At least the shirt was long enough to cover his shaft as it grew, and grew. As he returned to Gillian, he buttoned the lapels, not realizing until too late that he'd aligned the two sides incorrectly. "Better?" he asked.
"Did you kill them?"
she demanded in her broken voice, ignoring his question. He settled next to her chair and peered out of the water, giving her a moment to adjust to his presence, doing his best to convince her, and indifference, that he wasn't aware of her every move.
"I merely put them down for a nap. But I can slit their throats, no problem. Just say the word."
Her wish, his command.
"No, no, please, no."
She gave an almost imperceptible shake of her head. Upset by the thought of a few murders? Adorable.
"Very well, then. See how accommodating I can be, female? I'm perfect for you."
As she studied him more intently, taking his measure, her panic receded. "Excellent." He stole a quick glance at her face to judge how long it might take to get her from calm to intrigued, the way he'd left her during their last visit, and frowned. She wasn't just calm, she was grateful. Poor lass. How low were her standards for male decency? Not that Puck cared. Of course he didn't care.
"Why are you here, truly?" she asked,
her brow furrowing. He needed an excuse, something believable yet interesting, perhaps even steeped in truth rather than lies.
"I told you I am the keeper of indifference, and that you can help me. You can help me feel,
or rather feel without consequence. Once Puck had claimed the Connaught crown, killed Sin and united the realms, he would risk using the shears on indifference.
"I promise you," she said, utterly earnest, "I can't make you feel anything."
"You already have.
More than anyone else ever had.
As necessary for my goals as she is dangerous.
One day he might be better served to kill her." This was the danger of the ice. Unaware of his thoughts, she shifted to be closer to him, reminding him of a kitten seeking more warmth. How he longed to reach out, comb his fingers through her hair, trace his knuckles along her jawbone, and bask in her softness.
Bask. Me? Resist her allure? "You can. You will," he said, dismayed by the huskiness of his tone.
He should have no problem remaining detached. Time to lie.
"I was told your situation is so sad.
I'll come to care.
And I so want to care."
The fairer sex liked bad boys, or rather, projects, who melted for only one special woman.
"Don't you see, lass? You are the only one with the power to save me."
"Who told you this?" she asked.
Her gaze took on a faraway cast, as if her mind had wandered, even as she next spoke.
"Why would you want to care? Take it from me, caring for someone else is highly overrated."
She fretted her bottom lip.
"Do you care? About anything?"
He pretended to mull over his thoughts and sighed.
"Not even a little."
Though she appeared lost in her thoughts again, he added,
"The oracles in my home realm are the ones who told me about you, and I want to care because it is my right." More truth, harder tone, the words escaping unbidden.
Caring without punishment was a right for everyone, human and immortal alike. As she heard the last part of his speech, she gave no notice.
"Do you ever feel,"
she asked, something akin to envy pulsing from her and confusing him.
"Only very rarely, and then..."
He pursed his lips. There was no good reason to tell her about the weakness the demon inflicted upon him, and every reason to keep the info secret. Knowledge was power, and Puck would never willingly grant someone else power over him.
Lucky, she muttered. She was envious of him. What a strange creature.
But then she didn't know the price of an apathetic existence, how she would lose loved ones and friends, hearth and home, how her favorite foods would become tasteless, how living would equate to surviving, how beloved hobbies would no longer spark joy, how sex would leave her empty and hollow.
Lucky? Lass, I could set you on fire. As you screamed in agony, I could watch you burn, only interested in the warmth of the flames on a chilly night.
Okay, she said, her calm acceptance of his unintentional admission surprising him.
Maybe lucky was too strong a word.
Once, twice, she stole a glance at him through the thick fan of her lashes.
Are you going to set me on fire?
No. In an effort to tease her, as heroes often tease their heroines, he added, I left my matches at home.
Success! The hint of a smile curled the corners of her Cupid's bow mouth, as if she found him adorable.
Desire heated his blood and hardened every muscle in his body, earning a snarl from indifference. Puck's hands curled into fists. For his plan to work, he had to stop responding to her every word and action, and fast. A cool, salty breeze tumbled across the sands, and Gillian shivered. Still feverish?
Want nothing? Need?
Screw it, then. That exact moment, Puck became indifferent to the demon, to punishment, to any consequence he might have to face. Trembling with the need to care for his future wife, he removed his shirt and draped the material over her dainty shoulders. As she curled into the garment's warmth, a shocking jolt of satisfaction nearly unmanned him. He savored it, his mind robbed of any defense.
Satisfaction. How he'd missed it. Not just sexually, but in a job well done, a war well fought. Give me more, I need more.
Snarl. Puck stiffened. Perhaps he should leave, take time to regroup, and return when he'd successfully rearranged his priorities. Yes, yes, that was exactly what he should do. As he made to stand, however, Gillian's gaze dropped to his chest and lingered, and Puck wanted to roar with pleasure. Without conscious thought, he found himself switching gears and settling more firmly in place. Perhaps he'd stay a bit longer.
Thank you, she muttered.
For the shirt? You're welcome.
Anything for you, lass, trust me.
Guilt pricked him.
I want her trust, but do not deserve it.
Still, he ruthlessly slashed the emotion to ribbons.
So, how did you go invisible?
She asked.
When you fought the guards, I mean.
I didn't. I moved too quickly for you, or them, to track.
That's nice.
Merely nice? My skills are legendary.
Bragging now, hoping to impress her?
She licked her lips as if gearing up for an argument.
To acquire such skill, you must have lived a long time. You probably know all kinds of facts about, say, a supernatural disease like morte ad vitam.
Ah, she'd overheard the term and now searched for answers, to tell or not to tell.
What is morte ad vitam?
She asked when he remained silent. He stroked his jaw, thick stubble greeting him.
Is that what's wrong with you, then?
Yes. Every doctor agrees, she gulped. What does it mean?
Tell, he decided.
You were given a potion. Your body is trying to evolve, trying to become immortal. But it isn't strong enough. Now there's only one possible chance for survival.
He paused for dramatic effect.
You must marry. Bond with an immortal and link your soul to his.
Hope lit her eyes.
Blink.
The hope was gone.
But even that isn't a guarantee, he continued. You could drain his strength and kill him, or worse, make him human.
First she displayed shock, then horror, acceptance and fear, finally disgust. His confusion returned, redoubled. Why disgust? Didn't females dream of wedding a strong man who would offer lifelong security? The fear he understood and expected, even as a part of him, resented it. She recoiled at the thought of endangering William's life. Lucky William, to have a woman so concerned with his well-being that she would do anything, even die to save him. Die. To save another man. For a moment, Puck saw red,